All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, it's just a...
here, like I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down Wednesday.
Wow, we should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores.
Public display.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. Be sure to use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON, all one word, capital H, capital S. That'll get you $5 off on their website, zephyrepic.com. And don't forget, free shipping on orders over $50. Quads, it's been a busy day for news, I think, today for the Vancouver Canucks, when not really a lot has been done, but it felt like a busy news day on the Friday as we're recording this. How are you doing on this Friday, Quads?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than JT Miller was when he was talking about them coming back on a Friday night. We're recording this on Friday night, Chris, and you know, people who listened to last episode, we were talking about, man, are we going to have to break the rule? Are we going to, for the first time ever, have to upload an episode of Canucks Conversation on a Sunday instead of a Saturday? Every time. It's been a Saturday. Every week since you've started this show, it's been on a Saturday. But it wasn't going to be like that this week. So thankfully, we made some calls to the league offices, got them to change the schedule around so that our podcast could be accommodated. Very nice of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Quad father mode was engaged to make that happen. But Sunday's
we actually were the ones that told JT Miller to say all that stuff. They're actually not tired. The Canucks are in really good shape. It was just we really needed to do the podcast for Saturday. So I got in JT Miller's ear and just told him to tell them that they had to postpone the game. So, yeah, we made it happen.
Yeah, just send him a quick text, say, go off, King, and he just took it from there. Let's start right there, Quads. Let's start with the JT Miller comments. You know, it's been a couple days. We haven't recorded an episode since that happened, but I know we both strongly feel that what JT Miller said was I don't know, like, another word to put it, but kind of incredible for him to come out and say that. And, you know, very, very, very good showcase of leadership, I think, to go up and step in front of the media and talk the way that he did to us on that interview and to be 100% honest about, you know, it, not really feeling safe for a lot of these guys. And not only to them to get back on the ice and play hockey, but I think the thing that really hit a lot of people was how much JT was talking about families being affected about this. You know, we heard Tanner Pearson talk about his pregnant wife a couple days ago, but JT kind of just took everything up to the next level and said, like, this isn't just a thing where you get rid of the flu and it's day to day and you're back on the ice. Like, what were your initial thoughts from what we heard on JT Miller on that Zoom call earlier in the week?
Yeah, in all seriousness, that was it's got to be in the top five of Canuck player interviews or media availabilities, right? Like, obviously there's a few in there that stand out, like Burrows on the bike, Luongo with contract sucks, and I don't have them all prepared in front of me, but legitimately that's one of, I think it has to be one of the greatest moments ever from a Canuck player talking to the media. And it happened over Zoom, yeah, but it just, for him to come out and say what he did and just speak his mind, like, we both thought, and you and I talked about this off air, we both thought it was going to be much like Tanner Pearson. And, you know, we knew that something was going to come from Miller. Like, I texted you the night before. I said, hey, they're giving us Miller tomorrow. Be around because he's going to say something. I didn't know what he was going to say. I wasn't expecting that. I absolutely wasn't. But for him to say that they flat out weren't ready, like, I really wasn't expecting that. Like, you know, the cliche hockey answer, and from the Bo Horvat Media School of the Arts, he would have told him to say, like, yeah, just say, like, yeah, it's a tough situation, but we have to be adaptable this year. We're going to come out and work hard. But it's just, that's not the truth. You know what I mean? And JT Miller just gave the truth. And I think that's what we want to see more from these guys, is just tell us the truth. Just say what's on your mind. Tell it how it is. And that's exactly what JT Miller did. So, I mean, I really liked what he said in the availability. I thought it was extremely necessary. I mean, you just looked at that schedule and you saw that there were guys who were still, like he said, struggling to get upstairs, and now they're going to be asked to play in a game. It's like, Quinn Hughes needed IV, Chris. You don't just need IV and then it's like, okay, have fun playing 24 minutes a night for the next 19 days or whatever it was, the next 31 days and playing 19 games. Like, that's not easy to do. And even Troy Stetcher was on Donnie and Dolly this morning and he was like, I'm glad it's not me that has to play that schedule, but man, I feel for those guys. And you do. Like, you do feel for those guys, especially if they didn't have these extra 2 days to get ready. But here we are, JT Miller scares the league into postponing the games, because I'm telling you, Chris, he was going to go to Toronto and they were going to hear F-bombs from outside the league offices and they're like, oh no, JT Miller, he's here. And that was when they were going to have to change it. So they wanted to get in front of that. And they did. They changed it. It was good.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing that we need to look back at as we go back earlier in the week to the JT Miller Zoom conversation that he had with us in the media. And this, at the time, he was doing this, what, 48 hours or so? Maybe a little bit more than that, but like 48 hours, 2 days away from playing the first of back-to-backs. And what he talked about was, we're about to be put on the ice to play against two of the best players in the world and then play one of the best teams in the league the next day. And man, like, I can't give more props to JT Miller, because I think we saw it on social media, like, you know, fans didn't want the Canucks to play. The players obviously weren't ready to play. And it just felt like, it's like, who are you trying to please to put them on the ice? Like, was it the Oilers that, like, needed to be pleased, and that's why you wanted to play the Friday game? Because now those games are getting pushed back. They're actually going to be going until May 19th. We'll touch on the schedule a little bit later, but just to see him step up like that, I thought that was incredible leadership shown by JT Miller, and we got some more action today talking to Bo Horvat and Jim Benning. One of the things I want to break down from the conversation that stuck out from Jim Benning was that, you know, something that he kind of said in passing was that three or four guys might still not be ready to go on Sunday, and that's a 4 o'clock game on Sunday against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that doesn't surprise me one bit. And I just think that I still wonder, like, how many players' condition changes from having to play on Friday up until Sunday. Like, I really do think that this team is going to be missing more than three or four guys.
It's tough to say. Like, okay, so what we do know is that there are guys skating, and you know, they have some guys on the taxi squad. They called up Jack Rathbone, but just to be clear, Jack Rathbone still has to do a quarantine. He's not eligible to play in the Sunday game. So, like, it's tough to say, and I don't really want to speculate on guys' health, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's only three that are missing from the lineup. That's all I'm going to say on it, but I'll just say that. I won't be surprised if they're not shorthanded when they go on Sunday. I honestly think that they're going to have most of those guys, even those three that maybe aren't ready to practice right now. Like, maybe those guys try and push it. I'll say three for sure are probably out of the lineup, but I don't think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, if they can get back to... It sucks so bad because it's like these guys, you can't expect them to be at 100% coming back from this. Not only even, like, JT Miller talked about it as well in his conversation earlier in the week, but, like, When he took back to the ice, he said his lungs were burning, right? Like, he says his lungs were burning. He didn't contract COVID in this past breakout that they or outbreak that they had. You know, he had did he test positive at the start of the season? I always forget this. Or was he just a close contact?
No, he was a close contact with Jordy Benn. Never tested positive. I think he's immune.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, good for him. To think that they're going to get back on the ice and give us 100% of what this Canucks team will look like, I don't think we're going to see that on Sunday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think you're going to see that for the rest of the season. And I don't know. It's going to be tough to follow this team. It's going to be a really weird feeling just being back at the rink to watch this, because these players just have gone through hell the past couple weeks here. And I want to get back onto the ice a little bit more. So maybe we'll close out with what... you know, talking about COVID here, about the things that Bo Horvat maybe said today, and if anything stuck out from him, or even just, I think a lot of people were commenting on his appearance, just looking at him, and he talked about losing some weight over this break, and now his wife is getting it, and she's had it pretty bad for the past couple of days here, so maybe anything to take away from Horvat's availability today, or was it just going to be, you know, corporate Bo, that's kind of who we got, it felt like, for most of the interview?
Yeah, man, Bo knows what he's doing when he's talking in the media. I don't want to comment too much on his
You know what's
appearance.
Funny with Bo Horvat, the way that he answers? It's like, you hear reporters sometimes and they'll ask a question and they'll kind of like give you two options, right? Like, you know how you ask a question, you're like, oh, Bo, was it like this or like this? And then you see him just like think quickly. He's like, that's the one that I need to answer. And then he just like expands on one of the options that a reporter gives him. So from now on, if I'm asking Bo Horvat questions, like, it's not going to be an either or question. Like, it's got to be like a direct to the point, make him come up with it. Otherwise, he just rides with whatever the safer option is from the reporter giving him two options.
Speaking of questions to Bo Horvat, Chris, interesting question from friend of the show, Thomas Drance. Did you hear that question today? I don't know if you were on the call, but he asked Horvat, he said, did you get any support from management and ownership? And Bo answered, I don't know if he didn't hear Drance. That really didn't appear to be the case. But Bo's answer, he was just like, yeah, you know, that's huge, getting support from... And then he just lists off everybody except management and ownership. He's like, yeah, guys around the league, their families, and like, he just listed off a bunch of people that weren't management and ownership. And it was just weird because he was asked about management and ownership specifically, and he was like, yeah, it's huge getting that support from, and then he just said everybody but management and ownership. And I don't know, that was just an interesting answer, I think. But yeah, that was something that I noticed today that kind of made me raise my eyebrow a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think Bo would be the guy to do that and do it on purpose. I feel like that was kind of just a slip up,
and social media
ran with it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Social media took that and lit it on fire. But I mean, you know, if it was JT Miller, I think there would have been a point, you know, if JT Miller said that for sure. Or maybe, you know, I can't even really think of somebody else in the locker room to do that. But, you know, It's always hard to get something real and honest out of Bo, but I think there was glimpses of it today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially when it's such a human thing, right? And just, you know, his wife's sick and, you know, they didn't have to test Gunner, he said, but still, that's not easy to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an easy situation to be in. So, man, I think that was probably as honest as we've seen Bo Horvat in a long time.
Yeah, well, you know what, Quads, by the time this episode comes out and it's 24 hours old, the Canucks will be back on the ice, so I'm just curious, like, what kind of play do you think we should expect to see from this Canucks team on Sunday? Maybe we could touch on some players that you might think sneaking into the lineup, but, like, what kind of game are you expecting to watch Sunday at 4 o'clock?
Not a great one, but I will be there. I'm going to that game, so I'll do the post-game report. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll leave it to you, but we'll see. I'll probably end up doing it, but the one thing I want to say, Chris, they're missing a goaltender. I don't know if you caught that. Something Jim said today is one of their goaltenders isn't ready to go. He didn't say who. We're going to find out very soon. And we would find out if we were allowed in the building for practices, which, by the way, people are talking about this a lot on Twitter right now. You know, that's against the rules, the CBA rules. And now, obviously, this is a unprecedented situation. It's very different. But Jim Benning's opening the door to him getting fined for having a closed practice, right? Like, closed practices, it goes against the CBA. You can't do that. But I don't know, maybe they just got special exception that we're just not aware of yet. I'm sure that's probably the case. But, you know, as it stands, the door is open for them to get fined for this. And, you know, I'm not really complaining. I don't really go much to the practices. I leave that to the actual beat reporters. But, you know, like, we would know. We would know which goalie it is. And we don't. So if it's Braden Holtby in net, I'm sorry, Chris. Like, that's a worse game than we thought. You know what I mean? Like, Braden Holtby got COVID, as did Thatcher Demko. One of them is still struggling and maybe won't be ready to go for Sunday, which means we could see Mikey DiPietro back up in that game. It likely means that, but man, if it's Braden Holtby in net, that is tough. And then, oh man, I'm just like, I'm looking at this situation and just seeing, like, if you're missing Thatcher Demko when you come back, we thought it was going to be bad before. Like, imagine this team before they had COVID without Thatcher Demko, what it looked like. Now imagine them all having COVID, and the goaltender had COVID, and it's not Thatcher Demko in net. Like, that's going to be bad, Chris. That's going to be bad hockey. And you know what? Nobody should fault them for it. Nobody should be ragging on Braden Holtby. Nobody should be ragging on the players if they come out and have an absolute stinker against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sunday. Nobody. Like, I've even seen, like, the worst people on Twitter be like, well, nobody should be criticizing these guys. It's like, okay, great. At least if these guys are on board, then I don't think we're going to see anybody be like, oh my gosh, why is he not back-checking harder or whatever? You know what I mean? I don't think we're going to see that personally.
Yeah, I don't think that's... Yeah, I don't think there's a lot to expect from this team. And like you said, they're really shitty. I mean, these guys just went through a hell of a battle over the past few weeks here. And not only, you know, between themselves as individuals, but as you talked about, with the family as well, and to come in and play, you know, the best team in the division, potentially one of the best teams in the NHL, 4 o'clock start to make Toronto fans happy. You're about to be, I don't think it's going to be a great showing for the Canucks on Sunday. And I think that's going to be the way the season goes. So do you think that changes the way that, you know, it feels almost weird to transition to hockey, but we got to do it. We got to talk about the players on the ice and talk about the sport that these guys are playing. Where do you think the season kind of, the vibe goes for the young players moving forward? And this is brought up today as Jack Rathbone gets called up to the Vancouver Canucks. Still have not heard back at this point right now about Sven Berchi. I got confirmation that Gadjevich wasn't called up. I got confirmation that Jack Rathbone was called up, but I still have not gotten an answer back on Sven Berchi, if he's called up or if he's still staying down in Utica. By the time this podcast probably comes out, I'm sure Dollywall's probably got that out there already on a tweet, but maybe I'll get this scoop today. And just waiting on to see what happens with Sven Berchi here, but he could be called up. But let's talk about some of the young players like Cole Lind or Jonah Gadjevich, who didn't get the call up, or Jack Rathbone. Like, how much play do these players deserve to get for the remainder of the season?
Well, like I said on the last podcast, Chris, is like, I look at Jack Rathbone as a guy, you know, if Quinn Hughes is down, just try Jack Rathbone in that spot. You know what I mean? And obviously Rathbone has served the 7-day quarantine, which starts to beg questions of, okay, why wasn't this done 2 weeks ago? Obvious reasons. They didn't want to call him up when there was so much uncertainty around the team. I get that. But it's tough because if you lose Quinn Hughes, or he's one of the players that's not ready to go, you really don't have anybody to slot in there. But if you had Jack Rathbone, at least you kind of have that offensive, dynamic defenseman that can just slot in, and you at least get a look at Jack Rathbone as well. I think he deserves to have a shot at some point here, and I think he will. When we talk about the young players that haven't really gotten a ton of games in, Michael DiPietro is probably number one on that list. But Jim Benning even said today, like, it doesn't seem like there's any plan. Like, when Jim was talking, he was asked directly if there's a plan, and he just said, I can't really answer that right now. And yeah, like, I get that, but it's also, you should have had a plan before this season for Michael DiPietro. You know what I mean? There had to be something in place. And again, we've talked about this at length. A lot of this isn't on Jim, that he wasn't allowed to sign a third goaltender for the taxi squad for financial reasons. That's not Jim's fault. But man, that is really tough for your 20-year-old goalie's development, right? Like, that's not good for your goaltender's development to miss a full year. That is really tough on him, and it's important for him to get some games at some point. And Benning didn't close the door to him getting games at the NHL level. He said maybe that'll be in the cards, and honestly, why wouldn't it be? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to be trying to win the games toward the end of the year, you've got to get Michael DiPietro some playing time, and I think the same can be said for Jack Rathbone as well.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of these guys need to play. You know, not only I just feel the way that the season's gone, these guys just need to play. Like, that's got to be the light at the end of the tunnel of this long, crappy, dark, COVID-filled tunnel. You know, that's got to be the light at the end of the tunnel for Canucks fans, for the Canucks organization, really for everyone. Is like, give the young guys a chance right now to play, whether it's Rathbone or Lind, or, you know, keep playing Höglander high up in the lineup if he's doing fine. Like, keep bringing up these young guys that is going to help your team get to the finish that is just finishing this season. You know, getting that 56 games in, that's going to be a tough task to ask, and I think it's going to be really hard just kind of as we close out the month of April. That's going to be the toughest times for these guys as they're, you know, recovering back to playing hockey games, having to skate and exude that much effort, and I just think it's going to be a very tough spot for these guys. We're going to see the Sautners, we're going to see the Breezebois. You know, we saw Seelovs get called up as well to the squad, which I love that they call it the squad, by the way. But I mean, it's not like it slows down, right? Like, it doesn't slow down in May. Like, the end of April is hectic. They play a ton of games here from the 18th to the 29th. They're playing 7 games in those 11 days. I mean, that's a ton of hockey to play, and it doesn't slow down in May as you move into the month of May with 3 back-to-backs in that week and multiple times where it's just one day off, right? I mean, this is going to be a real tough finish for these guys, and having these young players around that weren't affected by COVID or were able to just escape it and stay away from the team if they were taxi squad guys, like, this is the time to play the wheels off of those guys. This is the time to play your young players. This season's already thrown away. Like, 100%, not only because of the record, but the situation that's played out here for the Vancouver Canucks. This season is an absolute throwaway, and don't make it a throwaway. You know, test these young players, get them into game action, see what they look like at the NHL level as they're playing against other teams that are prepping to get into the playoffs or make a push to get into the playoffs. I mean, it feels like a no-brainer for me to get a lot of these young guys in, and, you know, there's got to be nights where Alex Edler just needs to be a healthy scratch, just for him to be able to finish this season. You know, Tyler Myers deserves to be a healthy scratch at times. If you're able to bring in another guy that can play, like a Rafferty perhaps, maybe he comes in the lineup instead of a Tyler Myers. Like, it's giving such an open door to give your young players an opportunity to play that it feels like too much of a tap in that just like the Canucks won't do it. Like, we're going to see a ton of Sautner probably. We're going to see, you know, it feels like the young players need to be at the top of the who's going to play tonight list, and I just don't know if we're going to get there, to be honest.
I get what you're saying when you say put in Rafferty and take out Myers, but man, I don't think they're going to do that at any point, nor do I think they should, to be honest with you. I don't think, like, I get the season's a write-off, but they're still trying to win to an extent, you know what I mean? Like, they're not trying to get blown out, and if they, listen, Myers plays top 4 minutes for this team. If they throw in Rafferty and they're like, okay, you're going to have to play top 4 minutes tonight, they're just going to lose by, like, a lot, and that's not good for anybody, especially the young players. So I get what you're saying, but yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if Rafferty's kind of the guy that you should be, you know, we got to get a look at Rafferty, you know what I mean? It's just, you got to look at him earlier in the season. It just looks like he can't really play, and unless something's changed, I don't see the benefit of taking out a guy like Myers and putting in Rafferty. I just don't. I feel like they know what they have in him.
I don't think so. I think that Rafferty, that one game that he got was a tough look. I mean, he's got to get more looks at some point this season. I mean, what he did in the AHL last year in a good AHL, being one of the top defensemen as a rookie in the AHL, that doesn't just happen out of nowhere, right? I mean, this is a guy who had a tough break earlier this season. I think he's got to be able to get back into a game. And I look at the way the season's going to end. I think the biggest challenge is just getting to 56 games and keeping everyone healthy. And it makes a lot of sense to rotate these guys into the lineup. And, you know, Rafferty, I still think, is one of the defensemen that should be at the top of the rotation list, kind of just behind, you know, just behind Rathbone and Ulevi. I think Rafferty's the next guy up. I don't need to see more of Ashton Sautner or Guillaume Brisebois. I don't need to see those guys. I know what they can do. They're AHL defensemen who can slide into the NHL and play 8 minutes sheltered in a pinch. Like, there's still a lot of offensive potential for Rafferty, and I do think that the one game doesn't show exactly what he is as a hockey player. He deserves a few more games to show what he can do this year.
That's fair. I can respect that. I can respect that. But also, wasn't Derek Pouliot, like, right up there with him in AHL scoring or whatever?
Yeah, but it wasn't Derek Pouliot's rookie professional season either.
Fair. Very fair. Okay. Yeah,
this guy made That's a fair. Jump from NCAA hockey to professional hockey and made it as smooth of a transition as I've ever seen a defenseman do it at the AHL. And not very like fair. I've been tracking the AHL defenseman for a long time, but, you know, for the last 4 years of tracking guys come into the AHL and seeing defensemen put up points, I haven't seen anyone do it at the rate that Brogan Rafferty did last year. So I think that there's still something there. And I'm not saying that he needs to be the guy playing top 4 minutes for the remainder of the season, but, you know, a couple games, maybe a handful of them, where he is playing as like a fourth defenseman or even the fifth guy. Like, it doesn't need to be a lot of minutes. It's just, you know, give him the opportunity. Give a lot of these young guys opportunities. There's one that I want to talk about a little bit more, and it's how Cole Lynn kind of fits into the lineup for Sunday. You know, with Jim Benning saying that there's 3 or 4 players that will not be in, it feels like, you know, it's a tap in again to bring up that analogy that, you know, Cole Lynn should be in the lineup for Sunday's game. What would you kind of expect from Lynn on his debut if he is in the lineup on Sunday against Toronto?
Honestly, it depends where he plays. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to want him to be responsible, right? And they're not going to want him to try to do too much. And I think that's kind of how Lynn's game works. I would, honestly, Chris, if he does what he says he's going to do, and, like, you know, he did say in an interview with you that he does think he's still going to be getting under guys' skin because that's when he's at the top of his game. Honestly, we see guys like that come up, and then in their, like, first few games while they're getting comfortable, they're not really comfortable with that part of the game yet. But, man, how great would it be if the Canucks are getting, you know, whatever, like, the game doesn't really matter that much because it's the first game back or whatever, and Cole Lynn's just somehow getting under Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner's skin on, like, Hockey Night in Canada. Well, I guess not Hockey Night in Canada, but still, it's, like, a national broadcast. Everybody's going to be watching this game. How cool would it be for Cole Lynn to just, you know, get under somebody's skin? You know, because that's what he does in the AHL. And
be freaking awesome is what it would be.
I'm not expecting that from him in his first game, so I don't want to use the word I'm expecting to see that, but I think that would be a fun little thing to cover for sure if he did do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing about Cole Lynn's game is he's not going to be the big, tough Ryan Reeves guy, right? Where you can't do anything on the ice because he's going to beat the crap out of you. Like, what Cole Lynn's going to do is he's going to piss you off. Like, he's really going to piss you off. I stand by the quote that Joe Roberts, play-by-play of the Utica Comets last year, told me. It was just like, he's like a fly, right? Like, when there's a fly flying around in your room on a hot summer day, and then you even hit it. Like, you might even hit the fly. And it goes away, and you're like, oh, perfect. And then it just, like, bounces back and starts flying again. Like, that's the way that Cole Lynn annoys players. Like, he's going to be in your face. His voice is piercing, right? Like, he's got a, I don't know how he gets it. He's got a high-pitched voice on the ice, and when he starts to scream, he's going to be an annoying guy. And I think if he's able to bring that, like, let's not forget, Jay Beagle's on IR right now. Elias Pettersson, who we'll get to in the second half of this episode as well, he's on IR as well. So there is a world where Cole Lynn comes in and plays fourth line center on a line that potentially looks like, what, maybe Zach McEwen and Travis Boyd, maybe? Like, is that what a fourth line might look like on Sunday here?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like, well, like, is
and that's the spot for him
available?
To be in, you know? The best spot for Lynn to be in right now is to put him on a line with Zach McEwen and be like, yeah, hey, listen, you know, if you want to just be a little rat and go and piss off people, if this is going to be what you're going to do at the NHL level, here's Big Mac Zach. He's right beside you on your wing. you know, go be an ass. Like, go ahead and be an ass. Like, if someone messes with you, Zach's got your back, right? I mean, like, this is the time to let Colleen go off the leash a little bit, you know, just like Zach McCune's dog Lenny has been doing at the beaches lately. Lenny's getting his work in. You know, I just, this is the time to me where a fourth line, if you're going to play Colleen at center, Sunday's a great opportunity to do it in a fourth line role where he's not playing a ton of minutes. You know, he's not going to probably be, he probably won't be on the power play unit, but if you are looking at what the second power play unit comes together as, you know, there is a spot for Cole Lynn to go on that second power play unit while playing fourth line minutes. So I think he's going to have an impact when he makes his debut just because of the situation around him with this organization. Though it's horrible and it's been brutal to hear what everyone's been going through, a guy like Cole Lynn, who's been able to stay healthy through this time and be in Vancouver, for him, if you're just looking at it personally, this is the best opportunity of his life, right? Like, this is the best chance for him to make an impact at the NHL level. This is the biggest night of his life when if he gears up and plays on Sunday, like, this is his moment. So it's very different sides of the spectrum for sure, where the players are like coming back to Sunday, but I think you're going to get a fired up Lind if he is in action on Sunday.
Absolutely. And just to answer my own question from earlier, I don't think Matthew Highmore is going to be available because he was traded for on Monday, had to do a 7-day quarantine.
Right.
I think he'll be available for Tuesday. If not Tuesday, he'll be ready for the next game. But I don't think Highmore is available for Sunday night. So yes, to answer that question, I do see that fourth line happening, Chris. Definitely. With Lind there, absolutely. I think
the only other route I can see them going is Michaelis, maybe?
Yeah.
Michaelis playing center?
Michaelis as well. But don't forget.
I'm just trying to think, like, which centers would be able to play on the fourth line role. Like, what you're going to have, you know, you're going to have Bo Horvat playing center, obviously. You're going to have, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, why can't I think of center?
JT Miller.
JT Miller is going to, JT Miller is going to play center. And Brandon Sutter. And then from there, it's what? Michaelis.
McEwen.
Boyd. McEwen has played a little bit of center. But like, you know, Cole Lynn, this is the opportunity, man. This is the chance for him to come in and play.
Absolutely. And the thing to remember as well, Chris, Brandon Sutter was one of the guys that was hit hard by COVID, right? Like, he had really bad symptoms, and
totally.
That's one of
the players that I just think might be one of those three or four that won't be ready to go. Like, it makes a lot of sense that it would be Brandon Sutter. Quinn Hughes is the other name that's come up about it. Those are two of the names that I'm not confident, but I feel like from what we've heard and what's been reported, those might be two of the three or four guys that won't be there.
For clarity's sake, at the time of this recording, the NHL COVID protocol list has two Canucks players on it now. It was three, so you could probably figure out that it was those three that wouldn't be ready to go, but now it's kind of like, it's a little more interesting because the only two guys on that list, I believe, are Schmidt and Höglander. So, man, like, it's tough because you still don't have a center. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just, okay, sorry, I found
it. And it's not like Cole Lynn's been a center developing in the AHL.
Yeah.
He just switched to it and didn't even play 10 games of it at the AHL. So, like, man, you're really patching things together just to still get on the ice on Sunday, even with this extended time.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to clarify, Nate Schmidt and Jake Virtanen are the only two Canucks remaining on the list. So I would assume, Chris, if they're still on the list, that means that they are part of that group of three that isn't ready to go. Maybe Höglander, who was just removed from the list today, is a part of that list. But again, we don't know who Benning was talking about when he said three or four guys aren't going to be ready to go and aren't ready to practice yet. We don't know who those guys are. So I think it's a very real possibility that you're missing Brandon Sutter on Sunday night. And at that point, I think it is time for Lind to slot in and have to play some heavy minutes as a center.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll see on Sunday, to be honest. I think he's there, he's been healthy, he's been able to avoid this whole thing. I think that he's a slam dunk to play on Sunday. So we'll turn the page right here. We do have something to talk about on the other side that Jim Benning said today. So we'll get to that on the other side. We're just going to throw some ads here, and we'll be right back with the second half of this week's episode. All right. You guys all know about Parallel 49 Beer from our commercials here on the show, and now we have a new announcement, Hello Peach Bod. That's right, it's not all about the Beach Bod this summer, it's all about the Peach Bod this summer. This one's an interesting one, folks, a sparkling peach ale. So you're getting a beer with peach flavor on it, but it's also high in carbonation. It's definitely a different one, and I highly recommend going out there and giving it a try if you're into a peach-flavored beer. And that's something, you know, I'm pretty damn into. I got to get out and try it myself pretty soon here. I will report back on the show about this. So go out there and try the Peach Pod for yourself from Parallel 49 Beer. Check them out on Instagram, at Parallel49, as in the numbers, and then beer, that's Parallel49 Beer. And be sure to check out their website for more information about how you can get beer through Uber Eats. That's right, through those food delivery apps. Uber Eats, you can get your delivery from Parallel49 Beer. Be sure to check out their website, Parallel49Brewing.com. That's Parallel, the numbers 49Brewing.com.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
Moving on along, we want to throw a big shout out to our friends over at Mike's Hard Lemonade and Neutral Vodka as well. Couple of new releases from each of these guys right now. Mike's Hard has released the new White Freeze. It's here from the 90s to freeze your summer with refreshing cream soda flavor, as well as Neutral Vodka launching their new juice line with their regular vodka sodas now including fruit juice flavors to spice it up a little bit. I know I'm into that because I love my sweeter drinks. So be sure to check out the new Mike's Hard White Freeze, as well as the brand new Neutral Juiced series. And if you're of legal drinking age, head on down to the local BC liquor store and pick yourself up a six-pack of one of these new drinks. And thank you very much to our sponsors. Let's move on with the episode, Quads. There was some big news as well dropped by Jim Benning today, saying that Elias Pettersson must now, you know, he's seen a specialist earlier this week. I believe he said Wednesday. He is skating, but there was no timeline for him to be returned. I believe the quote was, if he's going to return this year. So looking at the situation with Elias Pettersson, is it safer just to shut him down for the year, do you think, and make sure that he's at 100% health coming into next season? Or do you think that getting back into some games is what this team needs from all their players and all hands need to be on deck? Like, do you, I don't want to say force Pettersson back, but if he's healthy enough to play, does he have to go back in the lineup for the Canucks, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think it's time to shut it down. You need this guy next year. You need him the year after that. You need him the year after that. You need this guy healthy long term. The Canucks aren't doing anything this year, Chris. Like, it's an absolute fallacy to think that they're gonna go on some sort of run. Like, it's not gonna happen. Like, JT Miller was even saying in his availabilities, like, I hope no one takes this the wrong way because I'm a competitive guy, but I'm not even thinking about playoffs right now. Like, the main focus is making sure we all stay safe and healthy and that our families stay safe and healthy. Like, you don't just get absolutely smoked by COVID like this and then just bounce back and make a playoff push. Like, maybe beforehand it was already a long shot, but now it's just like, I don't want to hear anybody talking about playoffs, okay? I don't want to hear that. So you need Pettersson for next year, because look, I know a lot of people think next year is going to be a write-off, but there are some ways that this team can be competitive next year, and paramount is that Elias Pettersson plays a full season. So you need him healthy. You need him healthy for that wrist injury. You need to make sure that that is solved. You need to make sure it's completely behind him and that it never comes back and bothers him. You need to give him the offseason to make sure that's the case. I don't see Pettersson coming back this year, to be honest with you. I really don't. Just from, you know, just what I've kind of seen, who I've talked to, I really don't think that it's going to be something that he comes back from this year. He is skating on his own, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be coming back this year.
Yep, and we don't need to look any further than his line mate and most consistent player that he's played with through his career in Brock Besser, where look what a nagging injury can do to you, and look what happens when you come into a season fully healthy and fully confident. I mean, yep, you're absolutely seeing that this year with Brock Besser in the conversation for the MVP of this team, right? I mean, he has to be in the conversation with the thing that he's been doing for this Canucks team this season. And yeah, if it's anything that even has a small possibility of lingering on, it's got to be shut down. You've already had a month without Pettersson, I guess longer than that now. It's almost been 2 months, right, without seeing Pettersson on the ice. It's definitely been 2 months, right? Like, it's been a long time since we've seen Elias Pettersson play a game.
Yeah, I think so. I think 2 months. Yeah, it has been, yeah. I think.
Coming up, let's say 6 weeks. 6 weeks sounds right. But it's been a long time since we've seen him play for sure, and I don't think that there needs to be any hurry to get him back on the ice. And I think even just to hear Jim Benning say, if if he's not able to return this season, like, that's enough for me to just say, okay, that's fine then. You know, like, he doesn't need to be coming back anytime soon. Like, obviously, you mentioned it, playoffs aren't in the conversation. The best part about having Elias Pettersson on your team is what he's going to do to get you into the playoffs and do in the playoffs. And that's just not going to happen this season for the Vancouver Canucks. So I would just rather see him come back and be 100% healthy coming into next season. So I'm with you on that one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any other way to look at it, to be honest.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I guess there's a lot more that's kind of come out over these Zoom calls, but it's been a lot of COVID talk, right? I mean, I want to kind of stick on the ice here moving forward. One of the other positives that I wanted to get into was now that getting Olli Juolevi back in the lineup, right? After Jordy Benn was traded, you're going to get Juolevi. He's going to get back in the lineup. He's going to play with Tyler Myers. How big of an opportunity do you think these remaining 19 games are for a player like Juolevi, who could potentially get back in the lineup for all 19 of them?
Well, he really needs to show well in these games, and I think they need to give him a bit of a bigger role, especially now that the games don't matter as much, right? Like, look, Alex Edler is coming off of a deal, and maybe they want to re-sign him, but if I'm the Canucks, man, I'm re-signing Alex Edler to play third-pairing minutes. I'm sorry, like, you cannot try and compete and still have Alex Edler in your top four. You can if you want him in on your bottom pairing, 7th D, whatever, sure. You cannot have this guy in your top four long-term. It's not going to work. It just isn't, and if you think Juolevi can do that, you've got to see it from him sooner rather than later. I haven't seen it from Juolevi, Chris, and they need to have a plan beyond Alex Edler going into next season. Like, yeah, I get, like, maybe I sound really positive by saying that next year doesn't have to be a write-off and that they could actually compete next year, but man, like, they could, and the way you do it is by moving on from a guy like Alex Edler, or moving him lower because you've improved in front of him. You need to have a better top four defenseman, and, like, I'm not saying this because I don't like Alex Edler, I just think he's getting older, and you're really seeing some serious signs of deterioration with Alex Edler, like, defending the rush. It's insane to watch, and I think Nate Schmidt's helped him a lot. I think it's helped mask a few mistakes that Edler's made, but I'm sorry, like, I think that Alex Edler needs to be on this team's third pairing going forward, and if you think Olli Juolevi can step into that, you've got to see him do it before actually going into next season and being like, well, yeah, we think Olli Juolevi's going to play top 4 minutes after never seeing him do it before. You need to see right. him do it. So I think that's what Olli Juolevi needs to do in these last 19 games. He needs to show well in whatever role they put him in. And then I think he needs to have a bit of a more increased role toward the end of the season.
Hey, if I were to ask you, and Juolevi's going to be an interesting one because I think a lot of the minutes that he's going to play, like we've seen all season, have been sheltered. But I just feel that there's going to be opportunities, whether it's Edler coming out of the lineup or Quinn Hughes not being ready to play, there is going to be opportunities for a left shot guy to play in top four. If I were to give you, you know, exact same odds on the average ice time, not the total ice time or how many games they play in, but out of Jack Rathbone and Olli Juolevi, who do you think has the higher average ice time at the end of the season?
At the end of the season? Oh, that's a really good question, actually.
Because, like, if Rathbone comes in, yeah, if Rathbone comes in and plays, I feel like he plays with Schmidt or he plays with Hamonic, right? Or he plays on one of those top lines where you would typically see Quinn Hughes. I don't think he comes in and plays with Tyler Myers. I think that's a big reason why Juolevi's been given this opportunity. I think the organization, the way that they look at Juolevi and Rathbone is, I think that they're a lot higher on Rathbone, right? I think that they think the potential is... Exactly, right? And I think that's the way that they look at it, but we're still seeing Juolevi be up here and not be sent down to Utica like we've seen with Rathbone this season. So I think it would be Rathbone. I think Rathbone would play more average ice time at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I do. I think you're right. That was a bit of a curveball to me, actually. I had to think about that, but yes, I do think you're right. I do think you're right. I do think it's going to be Rathbone when all's said and done.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And I mean, there are questions on the left side. And a big answer to those questions on the left side, Quads. Big number 88. Let's get into Nikita Triamkin. We were supposed to do this on the show a few weeks ago. Well,
why? Why are we getting into this?
You want to talk about playing minutes? Nikita Triamkin averaging 21 minutes of ice time playing on the first pair in the KHL this year. Look to have a bounce back season this year in the KHL. His contract's up. Jim Benning has brought him up, and I know you don't want to entertain the option at all. But $1.5 million on a one-year deal for Nikita Triamkin. Are you saying no to that?
That's the highest you go. That is the highest you go. And the thing is rumored like 2 to 3 million is what they're looking at, and that is way too much for Triampkin. I'm sorry. It's just, look, man, he was, okay, here's the thing, Chris, is he wasn't very good. I don't know why people are all of a sudden, like, it blows my mind, because he wasn't very good when he was with the Canucks, and he was like an okay defenseman on an absolutely horrible blue line. And it's just, if you're not clamoring for Lucas Spezza to come back and play on this team, I'm sorry, what are you seeing in Nikita Triamkin? That he's tall? Like, he hasn't, okay, sorry, I'm gonna take a deep breath here. I'm just saying that he was very, very bad when he left. He wasn't a good defenseman. I don't know where people are getting this idea from. The Canucks, like, people are like, Willie Desjardins should have played him more. You look at his numbers, Willie Desjardins was probably right not to play him. And now, I get it, they were tanking, they should have played their young defenseman more. That's something else we can talk about. But he wasn't a good defenseman, is the thing. And I'm curious what people have seen or what's changed their mind that all of a sudden it's, yes, let's bring back Nikita Triamkin right when this team is presumably entering their window. It's just, if you could have Troy Stetcher at the contract he's at right now, or Nikita Triamkin at 1.5 for 1 year, who would you rather have?
Oh, Troy Stetcher by a mile.
Okay, thank you. I'm just making sure we're still using our heads here. Perfect, okay. That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, the thing is, they don't have Troy Stetcher, and Jim Benning is the general manager, and Jim Benning, out of nowhere, brings up Nikita Triamkin's name last week, right? I mean, I still think that there's something that Jim Benning loves to see in Nikita Triamkin, and, you know, I've watched him play this year. He looks fine, right? Like, there's still a lot of times where Nikita Triamkin does things that, like, Tyler Myers does, right? Like, Nikita Triamkin is basically just a much worse Russian Tyler Myers on the left, who plays with the left on the left side, right? Like, that's a lot of what you're going to see from Triamkin. He's not going to be good at dealing with pucks around his feet. He's just not quick enough to react to them. But, man, the guy can skate. Like, you know, same with Tyler Myers, right? Like, Tyler Myers, he can skate, right? When he gets going, gets a couple strides, he can fly down the ice, bring the puck in the offensive zone. Same thing with Nikita Triamkin. Like, he can skate. He absolutely can skate. He's absolutely big. He can push players around. There is a lot of potential in this guy. He's still 26 years old. But this would be the final shot. Like, this season, I think this is going to be one of the final times that we talk about him. If he's 27 years old and he's in the KHL next season, we should never, ever talk about Nikita Triamkin on the show anymore. But Jim Benning brought him up. Like, Jim Benning brought him up. The general manager making every single hockey decision in the end is Jim Benning. And he brought up this player as a guy who can help the defense corps next year. So we still have to talk about it. Because it's a serious possibility that Nikita Triamkin can get signed coming into next season.
Yep, sure. Absolutely. I agree. We do have to talk about it. But I'm just going to remind everybody that this is the same person who said that Jalen Chatfield was going to come in and help out. So I'm just going to leave it at that. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yep, that's a good way to finish off with it. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, there is things that he can probably bring to an NHL lineup that help teams. But as a whole, I would be surprised. I would be very surprised to see him. There was a recent article that I read, actually, from one of the Russian sites where I get a lot of my Podkolzin information from. And they put out, you know, 9 players that are likely to jump over to North America and play in the NHL. And number 2 on that list was Nikita Triamkin. You know, he captained a team this year when Pavel Datsyuk was the captain, but he missed a handful of games, actually about a dozen games this year. And, you know, Triamkin worked his way up to being the captain of that team in the KHL. And I think he performed at a pretty high level. He always stuck out when I was watching KHL games, like, you know, maybe not just because of the size, but like the way that he carried the puck and moved the puck up the ice. It looked different to me than what I've seen him do at the NHL. But at the same time, that's not the NHL that he's playing in. It's the KHL. It's a lesser league. But I wouldn't say it's that much worse. I mean, I think it's the second best league in the world. I think the KHL is the second best league in the world. I think it's better than the AHL. And Nikita Triamkin looked like I wouldn't say a star, but he looked like a high-level defenseman in the KHL this past season. You know, similar to what I think an impact like Oscar Fantenberg had on SKA this year. I think a lot of similarities would be seeing about Nikita Triamkin. So there is a spot in my mind where I see Nikita Triamkin coming in and being able to help this team as a 6-7 defenseman in a similar way that Oscar Fantenberg did last year.
Yeah, that's fair. But remember, Oscar Fantenberg was on, what, 700,000? Wasn't he on, like, league minimum?
Yep.
So I think
he was a million. Can't remember exactly. I think that at 1.5, it's a risk worth taking, honestly, looking at the defense that you're going to have next year. And I mean, especially if Edler's not back. If Edler's not back and you're going to be forced to play one of Yolevi, Rathbone, potentially Triamkin, you know, as a guy in your top four, I don't know. I think it's worth a shot. I think there's still potential for him to be an NHL player. I don't know if there's a lot of potential for him to grow into, but I do think that there's potential in what Nikita Triamkin's done over the past few years in Russia, that he still does have a chance to be an impact. Not an impact, a big impact, but, you know, make somewhat of an impact on a roster that's going to be lacking in defensemen next year.
Fair. I respect that. You've watched much more of him than I have, so I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
All right, let's get to a prospects report. Let's start with Triamkin. No, I'm just kidding. I want to just ask you a question, Quads. What do you know about Ethan Kepin?
Not much. I knew that he played for the Firebirds.
Okay. So fourth round pick of the Canucks in 2019. Made his debut earlier today on Friday as we're recording this. I tell you, Quads, he's a big boy. Like, I don't know if he's got the quarantine 15 on him or what, but, like, he is a big guy. Like, he was on the ice today. He's solidly 6'2 and a solid 210-plus pounds. Like, this looks like a guy who is skating around the ice very well in his first AHL game here. And I just, right off the bat, really liked what I saw from Ethan Kepin in that AHL game. And I'm curious to see what he does moving forward now that he's a pro. I mean, this is a guy that we'll likely see in Utica for all of next season. But, man, from the initial viewings of him today, like, he started on a fourth line, ended up playing quite a bit of minutes, worked his way up to the third line, even saw some time with some of the top six guys. Like, quick impact he made on this game. So it was impressive to see Ethan Kepin jump into the lineup and do something for the Comets. I was impressed from the 20-year-old, to be honest.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's really, really good to hear.
Yeah, so quickly just touching on some of the other prospects. We know Jack Rathbone called up to the Vancouver Canucks. Excited to see what he can do if he gets his NHL debuts here soon. Not much else to report on from Utica. I mean, they've been playing games, which has been good. Jet Wu got his first goal the other day. That was nice to see. Gadjevic still scoring goals at a high rate. Just not a lot to talk about. Zlodiev played back-to-back games last couple days and, you know, didn't have a great performance. I watched the first game. He played in overtime. He didn't get a shift in the 10-minute overtime period, which was unfortunate. And, you know, just didn't make a huge impact. I think he's still fighting it coming back from his injury a little bit, but it's nice to see him in the MHL finals. So not a huge prospects report this week. I wanted to spend some time talking about Triamkin because I believe we said we would do it on the podcast. So we had some fun with it. But let's get to the betting segment, Quads. And my first bet is, am I going to survive making this final assignment for BCIT? Because I'm losing my mind right now trying to put together an 8-minute video.
Yeah, I don't know. I decided that I wasn't going to. So I don't know. I'm kind of mailing it on that assignment. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you know, I don't really care at this point. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Any betting tips then? Do you want to get it? Have you been betting lately or keeping busy? What are you doing?
Yeah, my Tanner Pearson bet hit, which I talk about every week. But yeah, that's a good one. Here's one that isn't actually baseball related. Okay, I'll give a baseball one because that's what I've been doing the past few weeks. But Taylor Hall, have you seen this, Chris? 37 games with Buffalo. Okay, he just matched his goal total through those first 37 games through three games with the Bruins. The guy is hot right now. Go ahead and put some money on Taylor Hall scoring a goal. I think you'll be happy with the results. That's what I'll say. And I'm sorry, but I think it'd probably be smart to take the over on shots against in the Canucks' first game back. Like, I think they're going to give up a ton of shots to the Leafs. So, yes. I would take that. I would take the over on that.
Yeah, I don't care what the odds are going to put them at. Obviously, Toronto would have been a heavy favorite no matter what. But, I'll take out the mortgage and put it on Toronto on Sunday. I don't think that there's a chance the Canucks will will be adequate enough to put up a fight against the Maple Leafs. I'm going to bet a heavy, heavy amount on Toronto winning that game on Sunday. So, yeah, shout out to our friends at Oddshark. Maybe we can get some numbers from them to see what it looks like on Sunday. But oddshark.com, check them out. They will definitely give you a bunch of the money lines, everything, where to make the best bets, where the best value can be used on different betting sites. So be sure to check out oddshark.com. Quads, anything else you want to close out with, man? I got to get back to this final assignment here. here. I'm getting through it. Like, I got all the video done at this point. Just missing a cut, like maybe 3 minutes of video, but I got to put the audio in, and I'm just losing my mind trying to work on this Adobe Premiere, which I'm sure a lot of listeners have used in the past. But for me, it's just like it's super laggy. And, like, when I'm just trying to, like, edit a video and put something together, like, I just want it to be, like, clean, right? And, like, when I post a clip here, I want it to clip here. And then when I press play, I want it to play. But it's so laggy that it's, like, absolutely driving me insane that I can't put the video quality out the way that I want because the editing system is just so brutal.
Yeah, I could go on and on and on and on about school, but I won't because I'm pretty sure one of our teachers listens to this podcast, so... Nothing but great things to say publicly. So subscribe to the Patreon. We never plug the Patreon, Chris. Maybe one day we'll just absolutely, well, just subscribe to the Patreon, people. We do these episodes called Faber and Quad Shoot the Bleep, and we just talk about non-hockey stuff, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. $5 and $10 tier gets you all the bonus content. So definitely go check that out. Patreon.com/CanucksCombo.
That's it right there. And by the way, Brian Weeb is a great teacher at BCIT. I'll say that.
He is. He's an excellent teacher. We're not saying that for any particular reason.
No, but he's a great teacher. He is. All right. I think we'll wrap things up right there, Quads. Yeah, it's going to be a weird weekend. It's going to be a weird feeling, I'm sure, for you being back in the rink on Sunday. And, you know, I think watching the Canucks even on TV for fans is going to be a strange thing. So we'll wrap things up now. We're going to be back with an episode next week. I'm guessing we'll probably put it out Wednesday morning because we'll watch the Tuesday night game and have a couple of games to react to. First of all, I cannot wait to be able to talk about hockey. Just talk about what's going on the ice and, you know, hopefully we can put this COVID situation behind us, but I do think that some of it's going to lag into the present as well. So we'll see what happens, but we'll be back with an episode, I'm guessing Wednesday morning for you guys. So episode 154 now in the books. For my co-host, David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber, and thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.